I've kind of had this message on my heart for a while now, and really felt like the Lord would have me deliver it here, and so pray the Lord will bless it this morning. Have you ever considered how we are tempted? With what avenues we're tempted, how it's delivered to us. I've been thinking a little bit about it of late, and actually for the last few months. If you were without, say, without vision, or without hearing, or without touch or taste, would you be able to be tempted? I think about it, and what comes to mind is that you maybe would be, but it would be as a result of perhaps your memories or what's been in your mind. I was thinking of the message that Brother Doug delivered a while back of our memories, and how sometimes those memories that we have can it can be a blessing to us, and they can also be a curse to us. They can be something that we have to battle and fight throughout the rest of our days. Where do those memories come from?
Experiences.
And how we experience our world, or how we experience life. You know, oftentimes we'll take a picture of something in order to remember it for years to come, that picture, that valuable instance in our lives. But, you know, you have pictures already in your mind that you have. They're called memories. And how they get there is usually through our senses, if you will. So I'd like to talk a little bit about that. There was a statement that came to mind that our eyes are the windows to the soul. Have you ever heard that statement? And I was thinking about that, and a lot of people maybe view that statement as you can see into the soul of somebody through their eyes or whatever. But what I was thinking of in that regard is that our eyes are allowing things to enter into us, entering into our minds, or entering into our souls, if you will. And so let's just go to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis 3, we'll read the first, start at first one. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. So I want to just draw our attention real quick. He said. Okay, so here we have something that's entering into her ears, and it's creating thoughts or creating processes in her mind and getting her to think about things that maybe she would not have thought about before. And so in through her ears comes the temptation, if you will. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. Again, he's speaking into her ears and telling her things that are creating doubts within herself. It's creating a mental process that's going on in her mind. For one, she's beginning to doubt God and doubt his word and what he had said and what he actually meant. And so the devil is manipulating her and tempting her. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, so her eyes are now something that's becoming a problem, or not necessarily a problem, but it's bringing in information, and it's coupling that information with what she's already been told, and all this process is going on in her mind, and drawing her to conclusions, and she's going to react based on this information that's in her mind. And a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. So when I think about this passage of Scripture, and how the devil was tempting her through his words, and also through what she was seeing with her eyes, and then it says that her eyes were open, where they were able to see both good and evil. And so to me, that is like we have windows. Our eyes have become windows to our souls, if you will. And they're open. And they're open for all different types of information. All different types of things can enter in through there. And the only way we can control that is to shut our eyes. But yet we still have our ears. And so there's still avenues. But I mean, if you think about it, it's very precious to think of what can enter in. It's very important to consider it. At least I believe that it's very important for us to consider what enters in to our minds or into our hearts, if you will, via our ears or via our eyes. The devil was able to lie to her, tell her stories about what God had said or what God's intentions were. You know, he just doesn't want you to be like him. He's trying to hold you back or painting a beautiful picture of what their lives are going to be like if they will just partake of this fruit. And I think it warrants for us to be concerned about what enters into our ears and what enters into our eyes. It says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So where does doubt come from? The word of God says that God said to her, "Thou shalt not eat of this tree." Where did doubt come from? From the devil talking to her and through her ears. So it came by hearing also. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, but doubt comes by hearing as well, or by seeing, or by the experiences that we have in life. I was thinking back of when I was young, and some of the things that I would listen to, the music that I would listen to, ungodly music, but I was contemplating what those songs would actually say, and that message was going into my ears. I mean, very corrupt things that they would have on there. And those things that they would say have pictures connected to them. It's like when you read a good book and you're imagining yourself in the book, or you're imagining what's going on in the book, and they're painting beautiful pictures, and the leaves were this color, and the wind was a slight breeze, and you could smell the air, and you know, and you're getting into it, right? But all that is just hearing, in a sense. You're reading it to yourself, and you're hearing it in your mind's eye, and you're visualizing these things, and the same is true of a corrupt book that you read. It's going to have pictures and images and things that go along with it as well. And it's going to poison your soul.
And
so that music that I would listen to was entering into my mind, or entering into my heart, if you will, and it's talking about messages that are ungodly and corrupt and evil. And I can say, well, you know what? I'm a man, or I have power and ability to control what comes into my mind and how it affects me. Do you really? Eliminate a memory. Decide right now today that you're going to eliminate a memory. Can you do that? Do you know how to do that? Because if you do, I want to talk to you after the service. Because there's some things that I'd like to forget. So once it's there, by the grace of God, and believe me, the Lord can bless you to help you forget some of those things. And He has me. And I'm thankful that I'm not plagued by the things that I've seen and heard throughout my life to this day. But you know that they're still there? And I can't just eliminate them out of my life or out of my mind. We need to be concerned about what we hear and what we see. Because once you see it, or once you hear it, that you can't escape it, in the sense that you can't get it out of your mind, or you can't erase it from your experience in life. And so now you're left battling that from here on, except for by the grace of God, that He gives you strength and ability to erase those things, that they don't come up in your mind anymore. By His Spirit, you're going to be affected by that for the rest of your life. Now, there's some thoughts and there's some things that you can't help but see, that you can't control. There's, you know, you may be somewhere and hear something that you can't control that. But there's very much that goes on in our lives that we can control, that we can prevent if we're being mindful of it. 1 Kings 13, there was a prophet that the word of the Lord told him to give a message, and he went and he gave that message. And he was giving a message to Jeroboam, and as he's speaking the word, the Lord is confirming the word with miracles, and that the king's arm was shriveled up, and the king invited that man to come and eat. He said, "Come and have supper with me." And he said, "Oh no, the word of the Lord has told me that I should not eat or drink in this place, and I am not to go by the same way that I came." Very specific what God had told him. And already the Lord had confirmed the word that He had told him previous. But then, as the man was beginning to leave, another prophet, if you will, came and told him, "Hey, come to my house." And the man told him the same thing. In verse 17, "For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread, nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest." And then that prophet says to him, "I am a prophet also, as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, Bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him." And so this man listened to him. He heard what he said. He processed what he said. Well, an angel told him. And against his better judgment, I would say, he went ahead and went with him. And he ate and drank in his house. And that same prophet prophesied of his coming death that was going to happen very soon after this. And so here we have the word of God that was spoken unto him, directly given unto him. It says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Lord confirmed it to him. He went and he preached the message that God had given unto him, and signs following. The altar, I believe, was split open. And like I said, the king's arm, when he stretched his arm out and said, take that man, his arm shriveled up on him. And the Lord was confirming the word. But yet he allowed something else that he heard to interfere with that. To interfere with the word of God, and it created doubt in his mind. He doubted what God had told him directly. This is not an angel or a third person conversation. He heard it directly from God, and now he's taken and he's manipulating his own life based on what a third person has said that they heard. We can do the same thing in our lives. We have the word of God that tells us and instructs us and teaches us in all manner of ways of life that he would have us to live in. He tells us how to live and how to serve him. But we have a lot of other voices going on in our ears that are saying things that are contrary to what the word of God would say or what the word of God would teach. And if we're allowing them to speak to us, or we're allowing them to bring out their messages to us, then we're going to put ourselves in a difficult predicament where we're left trying to decipher the truth or the error. I know that when I first came to know the Lord, I was very concerned about reading anything other than the scriptures. I didn't really want to read anything. I didn't want to read a lot of commentaries. I didn't want to read a lot of books about what other people said the word of God meant or what it, because I was afraid of it. Because I didn't believe and trust in my own ability to decipher and to figure out who's telling the truth. Is their interpretation right? All these opposing ideas and opposing thoughts. And I was just like, you know what? I'm scared of it. God's word says that he could lead me and guide me, and that he would teach me and instruct me. And I put faith in that, and I trusted that. And so I depended on the Lord to teach me and instruct me. And I'm thankful that I did, because in the environment I was in, there was many opportunities for a false doctrine to be embedded into me. And I heard it a lot. I couldn't escape it completely, but I didn't have to do it to myself. I didn't have to read the books myself. I didn't have to listen to the messages myself. And there were times where I was very confused, and I really had to pray and seek the Lord and ask him to show me again in the scriptures, the truth, because of the lies that I was hearing from other people. It's very important for us to be mindful of what we listen to, and that we remember that we're not invincible. A lot of times we can rely on our own ability, our own intelligence, if you will, to decipher truth from error. And, I've heard people say, well, I just read the book and it's like eating a watermelon. You just eat it and you spit out the seeds, Well, you read those seeds, and they've entered in. And so now you're left trying to deal with those from within. And it just gives opportunity for the devil to use going forward. And so I'm just going to say, I believe that we have to be very cautious what we listen to. I've seen some very eloquent speakers that can really speak very well, and they're so convincing. I mean, I was listening to a deal where a guy was trying to prove a point, but he was spitting off all kinds of statistics. Well, 80% of people this and 80% of people that, and did you know, all these statistics, right? And I mean, he was saying it so confidently. I mean, it was just like he had an air about him. He was just, and you listen to that and you're like, wow, I had no idea. That's crazy. I would have never thought. And you're starting to believe it. You're starting to consider it a possibility. And then he finally says, I was lying about the whole thing. I was just making up all those statistics. I was just making up all that information. But the way he said it and the confidence that he had and the ability that he had to speak and it's founded on facts, you know, you think. But it was all in error. And how easily we can be manipulated with that kind of information. We have a lot of information coming in to us. And every one of them is spitting it off as if it's facts. And some of it is very contrary to one another. And so we really have to be careful what we allow to enter in and to affect our perception of life or our perception of the world or our perception of the Word of God and what He has said and what He has confirmed to be true and right. Proverbs 7. Proverbs 7 and 21. Let's see. So this is an ungodly woman that's approaching a man and she has evil intentions. And in verse 21, it says, with her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. And so what I want to say is that he sat there long enough and listened to that long enough that he eroded his good conscience and he yielded. And so to me, that is a caution to us that we be careful what we sit and listen to and what we allow to enter into our ears and the confidence that we might have that I'm a strong person and there ain't no way anybody's going to ever convince me, or there ain't no way anybody's going to, you know, cause me to yield to sin or to draw back or be careful. What is it? Let him who thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. We need to be wary of what we listen to. Jeremiah 23. One of the things that concerns me is sometimes that we want to have answers to things. We want to know the answers to some of the questions that we face in life. And if we're not getting it, sometimes we can go about all over the world trying to obtain information that's going to help us answer these questions. And I pray that we would trust the Lord and trust His ability to give us confidence in His Word and to be able to hear His voice and to allow Him to direct our steps, that we would make our decisions based on His Word rather than on all the information that comes in and around us. And I do mean God's Word. I don't mean me. I don't mean Brother Doug. I don't mean any other minister that maybe you know and have confidence in. I think of Paul saying that if I or an angel says anything other than what I've taught you, then don't listen to it. He included himself in that. And so we're trusting in God's Word. We're not trusting in people because people can change. People can fall away. People can manipulate their own ideas and thoughts and go to a totally different direction. We do not follow people. We follow the Word of God. And that is where our foundation is going to be. That is what's going to help us in time of trouble. When someone maybe goes astray, you don't go with them. Because your foundation is Word of God and what God has said. And that's going to be your sustaining force going forward. Jeremiah 23:16. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. He's telling them, so be careful of those prophets. And I'm going to tell you, be careful of those prophets that are out there that are saying a lot of different things, and they're very confident in what they're saying. They're very persuasive, and they can come across with an air of understanding and knowledge, and you could get to where you're thinking, well, maybe I'm mistaken. Maybe I'm not seeing it right. Maybe I'm not understanding it correctly. And I say that because I've been there. I've had that happen to me where things that I was very certain of, I was like, surely. And they come to me and they're coming with all these different angles and all these different ideas, and they're very confident in what they're saying. It made me go to prayer. Yes. And ask the Lord, Lord, is it true? Am I mistaken? Am I perceiving it incorrectly? And I'm spending all my time studying out this thing again that I've already studied maybe two or three times before, because of what I'm allowing to speak to me. He says, hearken not to the prophets or to their visions, because it's out of their own heart. They're speaking, maybe sometimes they're speaking what they want to be true, or what they hope to be true, or they're speaking in a way that helps them not be condemned in their own lives. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. So they're telling those who despise the Lord that they're going to have peace. Sometimes I believe that that's what people are saying today to a lot of people out there that have a desire to serve the Lord, but maybe they don't want to go all in, or they don't want to be fully surrendered or fully consecrated to God. And they'll have plenty of people that will tell them, well, you don't need to do that. You don't need to be fully consecrated. You don't need to be fully sold out to God. All you need to do is believe in Him. All you got to do is believe that He exists. And that's essentially what these people were saying. You're fine. You're going to have peace. We're all going to be to heaven. Those who despise me, the Lord has said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto every one that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. So they're telling them that you can just do whatever you think is right. You know, everybody has their own opinions, their own ideas, their own thoughts. You know, everybody's okay. You're welcome to your opinion. There's multiple ways to God. No. There is not. Amen. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes into the Father but by me. Amen. That is God's word. Yes, but many would have us believe that you can get there any old way. And I'm just think about it. If you sit there and you listen to that long enough, and you let them talk, and you let them convince and persuade. The devil tempted Eve and convinced her to go directly against the word of God. What God had specifically told her, that prophet allowed that other prophet to convince him to go against what God specifically told him. It could happen to us. If we sit under that and allow it to enter into our ears enough, it could affect us. I was thinking of a child's song that we sing to our children. We haven't sang it very much lately, but Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. For the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little ears, what you hear. You know that God is concerned about what you're allowing yourself to see and hear? He's concerned about it. And I definitely believe that we ought to be concerned about it too. In 2 Samuel 11, we have a situation where David saw something. And it came to pass, after the year was expired, in verse 1, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon, and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an event, eventide, that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And many of us know, maybe all of us know, how this turned out. Would it have been better for David not to have seen that? Do you think he would have went and inquired of her and went as far as he had went if he had not seen her like that? And I think about it that, you know, when he inquired of her, they said, well, yeah, we know who that is. That's the wife of Uriah. That should be enough, right, to tell David, okay, shut it down. That's enough. But he saw something. And he couldn't unsee it. It was in his mind's eye, if you will. And even though it was said that this is Uriah's wife, somehow he pushed past that information because of what he had saw. It reminded me of also Noah. Remember when Noah, after the flood, it said that he was found in his tent in a shameful condition, after having drunk too much, and his son Ham saw him, and he thought it was funny, and so he went and got his brothers. What did his brothers do? It says that they took a garment of some kind or a blanket of some kind, and they backed in to their father's tent. And it says that they covered his nakedness so that they would not have to see that. And you know that that became a blessing to them for having done that. And it ended up being a curse to Ham for what he had done. Now, there maybe wasn't anything he could have done about what he had saw, but there was definitely something he could have done after what he had saw. And I'm very thankful that his brothers backed in and refused to look upon their father in that condition. Or I mean, just imagine what that would have done to them, and in their impression to their father, or maybe it would have hindered them going forward in their relationship with their father. Maybe they could have lost respect for him in a way. So much could have happened if they had not done that. And so I'm very thankful that they were careful what they saw. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 14. Ezekiel 14, we just go ahead and read, start at verse 1. Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart, and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? You know, every time I read this scripture, I think of something very specific. And when it says that they put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Now you can say in that day and time, maybe they were putting before their faces the idols of the other nations, or what they worshipped, or their lifestyles, or whatever that would maybe draw them away. But you know what I think about today? TV. You know how many people in this world today sit and watch that box? And I was one of them for a long time in my life. Watch that box. What is that box doing? They call it programming, right? And maybe that it's not far from the truth. But you know that thing is speaking to you and showing you things constantly. It's just a never-ending device of information. Is all that stuff true? No, they don't even want you to believe it's true. They don't even care if you think it's true. I'll put things that are very fictitious in front of you. And you can see it, and you can hear it, and you're partaking of it. Whether it be you're looking at it as a false thing or a true thing, it doesn't matter, because those images are still in your mind. I think of a lawyer that was in a court case, and he said something that was blatantly uncalled for, right? And immediately, you know, the other attorney, I object. And he's like, I take it back, right? I recant my statement or whatever. But he already said it. And you got 12 jurors that heard it. And you can say, okay, disregard what he just said. You're not allowed to consider that. Well, it's in my mind. I can't help but consider it now. And that's what happens when that box has ugly, nasty, terrible things in there. People ought to know, right? And they're showing the gruesome details of whatever it is, you know, some horrible crime that was committed, and they're talking about all the gruesome details of it or showing images of it, and that's entering in and creating images in people's minds that are creating memories, and they're impacting the lives of people. And I'm not trying to beat up TV for people, whatever. Maybe you like TV, but I'm telling you, it's destroying people's lives. And what is it? And if you just think about what it's doing, we're talking about being careful what we see and being careful what we hear, and that's all that thing does. And it's not all good. You know, some would argue, well, there's some good things there, you know. Well, it's like I said earlier, that watermelon, I don't care if you spit the seeds out, you've already ingested it. It's in there. And you cannot erase it. You can't get it out of your... And so that, obviously, I mean, many of you have heard that over the years and years of time. Be careful of that TV. Watch out for that TV. And many of you maybe have thought, you know, that's kind of dumb. You know, what's wrong with this TV thing? You know, why is it such a problem? Think about what it's doing. It's inputting things into your soul that you're going to have to battle and you're going to have to fight to overcome. You're going to have to pray down the grace of God to overcome those things. But then it doesn't really stop there. And I guess this is kind of where I started getting some of the thoughts for this message is, do you know that the internet is very similar as a TV? And the images that it can throw up to you. I mean, just throwing Facebook out there as an example. It's got some benefits. You know, people like to have their grandchildren on there and they can see the pictures and it's, oh, wow, you know, they went to this vacation and look at the pictures and they're sharing their lives with people. And I'm not going to tell you all that you need to shut the internet down. That's not what I'm trying to do. Be careful what you see and be careful what you hear. Because, I mean, the end thing nowadays is these 15 or 30 second clips that, you know, you can just run on through them one after another, clip after clip, and it says this thing and it says that thing, and people are putting their ideas and their thoughts, and all that information is going in. And we end up having to decipher over and over and over again truth. And we may have to battle righteousness and justice and purity and godliness over and over and over because of what we're allowing ourselves to see and hear. I really feel like we're in a time of our society or of the world in general where all that information is a very big deal. And people come across very confident. And I'll tell you, you know, back when I was a kid, when somebody said something on the news, you just believed it. You know, everybody just believed that the reporters had integrity and that their focus was to tell the truth, and they're just giving us the facts. They're not giving us an opinion, and it was just well accepted that that was the case. But I would say just in recent years, we've found that is not the case. You can't trust that anymore. And so what that does is now all this information, you can get to where you don't know what to trust. You don't know what to believe. You know, I can watch news right now and it does me absolutely no good. Because I don't know if they're telling the truth or not. I'm not over there. It's a very volatile situation. And so what that eventually does too is they start trying to instill doubt in us and what we really believe and what we hold our most precious in our lives, and the gospel message that Jesus Christ came to save our souls and to deliver us from our sins, and that there's a mansion or heaven waiting for us in service unto God. You don't think they're going to come against that? And the faith that you have and the belief in God that you have is going to have to be founded in His Word for you to be able to withstand that. Because they're going to be very confident. They're going to be very sure and very, very well spoken and intellectually sound. They're going to spit off all kinds of facts, but it's facts based on what they determine. We need to be careful what we hear and what we allow to enter in into our minds via our eyes or our ears. Let's go to Deuteronomy 11. Verse 18, therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Think about it, if that TV was just talking scripture all day long. Just reading the Word of God. Wouldn't that be something? And that's essentially what he's asking us to do. Is to allow the Word of God to saturate our minds and our hearts, and to allow it to saturate the minds and the hearts of our children that we're trying to raise in this world here that we're living in. They're going to need that going forward. You're going to need it going forward to be able to battle against the things that are going to come up against you. And thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied in the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. So that is how we can combat or substitute, whatever you want to put in there, what the devil, I'm going to say it's the devil that's doing it. He knows the susceptibility we have to what enters our ears and what enters our mind and what enters our eyes. He did it from the beginning with Eve, and he has not stopped doing that. And I mean, our souls are vulnerable in that way. And I believe that he's got an influx and a huge push to stampede us with information and images and thoughts and ideas that it's a huge onslaught against our souls. And I pray that the Lord would help us to combat it with the Word of God and prayer. Like Brother Doug was saying, this is a very important hour of prayer, or a very important hour of thanksgiving, that we allow our minds to think on those things and to process the Word of God and what he wants to do, and maybe being mindful of what the enemy may be trying to do and trying to tempt us or trying to draw us away, being aware of his tactics and what he's trying to do. Philippians 4 and 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. We're going to have thoughts. We're going to have memories. And I pray that the Lord would help us to guard those things by being wary of what enters in to our minds and into our hearts. The sower and the seed. What was the seed? It was the Word of God, it says. And it says that it entered into their hearts. And the condition of that heart determined how that seed would prosper and grow. But there were other things in that heart, or the one person's heart, that said that there was tares in there. How did they get in there? How did those tares get into their hearts? And I would say it's the same way. And so may the Lord help us to guard our hearts and to protect ourselves from the enemy and his tactics and what he would seek to do to create havoc in our lives by what he's trying to input there. I need prayer because I'm not impervious to this. I have the internet too. I have the ability to see things and hear things, and I know, and I've already said it, that there's some things that you can't help but see, and you can't help but hear, and God has grace for you, and He can help you, but it doesn't mean that that's going to make it easy. It just means that we need to lean on God and depend on Him and trust in Him and allow Him to lead us and guide us through. And I trust that He can and He will. The Scripture says that He will lead us and guide us into all truth. And I believe that. If we can trust in Him and rely on Him and give Him avenues to do that with, read the Word of God. Give the Lord the avenues that He needs to help you to know the truth. You say, well, tell me the truth, but you don't ever read the Word of God. To me, that's being very presumptuous to the Lord and causing Him to do something more than maybe He need do. I think of the rich man where he says, send somebody to go tell my brothers that I'm here in hell. And it says that Abraham told him, or maybe it was the Lord that told him, they have Moses and the prophets. And so the same could be true, said to us, and that we have God's word. You want to know the truth? Read God's word and let His Spirit guide you into all truth. Pray for me.